everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. We talk about things that are of interest, things about the human mind, and today we're going to talk about superstition. Superstition, very interesting. You all are affected by it much more than you think. If outcome that is desired comes true, then a superstition is validated. So if you carry a rabbit's foot and you go and play poker and you win, then the superstition that a rabbit's foot is going to make you win poker is validated. In certain countries around the world, it goes really far. For example, Muslims believe that if a fly falls in your food, take it and immerse it once more. Because according to Muhammad, the fly carries the medicine on one wing to counter the disease it carries on the other wing. So you got to dip your flies twice. Also Muslim, when you enter the toilet room, use your left leg first when entering, and when you come out, use your right leg to step out. This instructed Muslims to do so. And so, you know, in every religion, in every society, in every culture, there are different suspicions. A superstitious individual erroneously believes that the future or the outcome of certain events can be caused or influenced by certain specific behaviors, despite the lack of causal relationships between the two. Many superstitions emerge from the notions of good luck or bad luck. Some popular superstitions are a result of misinterpreting correlations as causes and effects, you know, like people were doing that with the floods, you know, in New Orleans. They said, well, there was about to be a convention that was just about to take place, and the flood proved that there was bad luck associated to that convention. Many things that were once considered scientific are now considered superstitious, such as alchemy and astrology, both. Now, if you're an astrologist, it is considered superstition because the facts are not evidenced. By its definition, superstition is not based on reason and it is not true. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to see how it's affecting your life, because it may be affecting your life in many more ways than you think. Let's take a look at some superstitions. Let's take the number 13, the most popular one, which triggered this investigation of mine. Based on a book I was reading about the number 13, where does the number 13 superstition come from? Where do you think it comes from? Well, according to many people, it seems to have started with the Last Supper. Yes, the Last Supper, where Jesus was there, the 13th invited guest was Judas. And it was Judas who brought about the death and destruction, and so on and so forth. So the number 13 became synonymous with betrayal and death, and there is a lot of mythology about never having a table with 13 people at it, because the 13th person is, or one of the 13 people are going to die. That's the belief. So the number 13 becomes suspicious and superstitious. And now what people do, they take that number 13 and they push it much further. Now, superstitions can be very convenient to people in power. If we want you to believe that you should fight off a certain race or a certain religion, or we could just set up a superstition about it. We could just say something like, you know, the witches would do, you know, the smoke that she came above the house of one person meant that a witch was living in there, you know, and if that smoke manifested, a white smoke manifested, it meant that, even in Catholicism. Well, you know, Catholicism is interesting because it judges superstition. And it says that superstition is virtually anything that's not Catholic. But also, you know, and that's not just to make, religion is not superstitious necessarily, but a lot of people who are agnostics or would like to tell you so. So superstition serves people. Here's one way that it served people. Take the number 13. What happened all over the world, it seems, they eliminated the floor number 13. Why did they do that? Why, if you have a building, you get to 12 floors, the next floor is 14. What happened to the 13th floor? There's only one building in New York that has a 13th floor. Do you know which one that is? The Waldorf Astoria. Yes, if you're feeling lucky, you could get a room on the 13th floor of the Waldorf Astoria. In fact, there is a 1313 that is very requested by people. They like the idea of the room. We're going to get to that called triskaidiscophilia, which is a love of the number 13. So there is no 13th floor. Now, what's the advantage of having no 13th floor and 13 being unlucky as a floor? And we pass that along to you. But why do we make that a superstition? Because think of what it does for the builders. Most people like higher floors. So if a person lives on the 13th floor, it would be a certain rent. But if they live on the 14th floor, the rent is going to be higher. In New York especially, the higher the floor, the higher the rent. So by eliminating the 13th floor, everybody got a chance to build a bigger floor. You know, they got a chance to get more rents. So it kind of caught on. Now, there was in airlines, there was no 13th row. Didn't serve very many people. There was one airway, U.S. Airway, who said, well, we will have a 13th row. And they've got a pretty good reputation. They're pretty lucky. Lucky. Now, there's a word for you. Doesn't that mean superstition? Well, what superstitions do you live by? Which do you know? You know, what is a black cat a superstition? I've got a person who works for me. She has two black cats. Her neighbor is always feeling bad because her neighbor believes that black cats bring bad luck. So the neighbor says to her, how could you have these black cats? What she says back to her neighbor is, two black cats cancel out each other and they give you good luck. There's a group of people, an underground group, called the 13 Club. They're from the past, but they're active. Look them up on the internet. You'll find a lot about them. Now, the 13 Club is a group of people who greet around everything 13, and they are meant to debunk the myth of 13. And they do everything they can to do it. So what kind of stuff do you live with? What kind of stuff did your family live with? How about breaking a mirror? Where would that have ever become a sign of bad luck, breaking a mirror? Well, back in the ancient, it was in Rome. In Rome, they used to have a thing called glazing or gazing pools. A gazing pool was you look in the water and you stare at yourself. And by staring at yourself, you know, like Narcissus, you would stare at yourself. You would get a look at your own soul. One of the dirty tricks that people would play is that when somebody was gazing in the pool, they would throw a pebble in the water or a rock in the water, and that would create ripples, and that would disturb the person who was looking, because they would believe that they had shattered their image. And the idea of shattering your image, since we don't have any gazing pools around anymore, we have the idea of breaking mirrors. There's a lot more to it, but you know, how has superstition affected your life? There's a film out there called Household Saints. It's got Patricia Arquette. It's billed as a comedy, but it's about Italian superstition, stuff that I grew up with. And things like, you know, what you do with your chicken affects your fertility and stuff like that. I recommend it. It's a fabulous, fabulous movie, Household Saints. What about you? 212-209-2900. I'd love to talk about you and your experience of superstitions. Hey, here's another one for you, by the way. Feng Shui. Feng Shui, and it's a Chinese belief and a system that has to do with light and it has to do with energy, and it has to do with, it translates into wind and water in the Chinese language. Commonly, feng shui is also known as geomancy. Now, for centuries, it's been used as deeming proper locations for buildings, structures, and the like. There is no scientific evidence that anything related to feng shui does any good. I just happen to like the way things look when they're feng shui'd. It's some kind of, you know, they're sparse. They're kind of, they're minimalist. And I kind of like all that space because I live in places where there is less space. But feng shui is definitely one of those things that are being believed just based on acceptance of certain superstitious beliefs. 212-209-2900 is our number. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you, sir?
Great.
How about knock on wood?
Knock on wood. Do you know where that comes from?
No, but I hope you tell me because sometimes, jokingly, I'll knock on my head, you know, but I have to find wood immediately after that because I'm serious. I need to knock on some real wood. And as far as, you know, religion, we could avoid it, but basically, you know, it's the government of control, whoever's in charge. And, yeah, most of the stuff, I think, is based on, you know, religion.
Well, so, most of the stuff is based on control.
Exactly. And, you know, the gypsies were Roma people, I'm sorry, that were, thrown out of the church. They were reading tarot cards, they were reading hands, and, you know, this is against, you know, the faith of, you know, the ruling faith. So
what's your name?
Anonymous.
You're Anonymous.
There you go. You caught on real quick.
Hello, Anna. Anna, let me ask you something. In your family, was your mom ever really suspicious? Was she superstitious?
Oh, we got the santeria, the brujeria, the whole nine yards. So, there's
santeria.
All kinds of stuff that you got to be...
For people who are not familiar with santeria, would you tell them a little bit about the altar?
It's an African-Caribbean faith that, you know, we hid our gods from Africa in the religious saints of Christianity. And we, you know, like the African people here, worship their own in, you know, voodoo and, you know, all this other stuff. It's basically, you know, a way of hiding from the masters what we weren't allowed to do, which was worship our own gods.
So what you did was you took your gods and you put them in the shape of the Christian gods.
Well, yeah, you know, you buy the saint in any botanica and, you know, you...
worship it that
call
way.
Call them Chango, or you call them Huruba, Yoruba, or, you know, like that.
Did you believe that these had influence over your life when you were little?
Well, I grew up with what you can call professional or true believers, you know, depending on your take on it. But let's just say I don't mess with that, okay?
Why? You don't mess with it because you think there's some real truth in that.
Well, I think if you believe it, that's really all that's necessary, right?
You mean if you believe it, then it could affect you.
Sure.
So if you believe crossing having a black cat cross your path or walking under a ladder or spilling salt is going to cause some bad luck for you, then you're going to somehow create this bad luck for yourself because you're going to feel spooked. You're going to feel like...
Well, doesn't the evil witch
you.
Always have a black cat?
So let me
That's
tell you
the
about
favorite thing about Halloween, right?
Let me tell you about knock on wood. Knock on wood is supposed to keep the devils who are living in the wood from hearing your idle comments. So let's say you say something good. You don't want to get it, you know, affected by the devil. So you knock on wood so that the devils living in the wood would not hear you. So you'd say something good like, you know, I think I'm going to have a good day today, knock on wood. And that would keep the devils from hearing you. That's where the superstition comes from.
Well, you call it superstition, other people call it faith. But
that's right.
To leave it on a positive note, I know a beautiful old Puerto Rican woman that has a sign on the front of her door, and she says, "May the Lord give you 10 times over anything you wish me," meaning whatever you wish for me comes back to you.
Yeah,
and it may good or bad.
In some indirect way, I'm sure that's true. I thank you very much for calling.
Good
Anna.
Day, sir.
Anna, an anonymous. She has the last name of Anonymous. There's a few people around with that last name. How about it's bad luck to walk under a ladder? This came from the early Christian belief that a leaning ladder formed a triangle with the wall and ground, and you never violate the Holy Trinity by walking through a triangle, lest you be considered to be in league with the devil. So walking under a ladder meant you joined the devil, and that's why it became bad suspicion. I learned of it as being a dangerous thing because I used to work in construction sites and people used to keep their tools on a ladder. And every now and then you walk under a ladder, a tool would fall down and hit you. Or we would be suspicious that it might. God bless you. How about that? You know, you sneeze and somebody says, "God bless you." This kind of came out of the great plague that took hold of Europe and people began sneezing violently. The Pope passed a law. Since sneezing meant that the person was going to die of plague, people were required to bless the sneezer. See? That's what one of the things the Pope did. He said, "Look, anybody who sneezes is going to die, so bless them." So, you know, we kind of think of it as, you know, that if you bless somebody who sneezes, it's because they are open to the devil's coming in. But that's not the origin of it. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Wait till we talk about Christmas and the Star of Bethlehem. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Funny that you say the 13th. My son was born on Friday the 13th.
Now, there you go.
And his birthday is going to be Friday the 13th in January.
Boy, and that's
a very lucky day.
Do you know why they say Friday the 13th is bad luck? If you think about that, the number 13 comes from, you know, the Last Supper and the 13th guest at the Last Supper. It also took place on Friday.
Right.
So that's where Friday the 13th gets its unlucky name.
Mm-hmm. And he's just a great kid, so.
So we know that it's a lucky number.
Yes, it's a very lucky number. Well, let's see, what superstitions do I believe in? That you don't put a hat on the bed.
And you know where that comes from?
No.
Oh, it's really interesting. Now, I'll bet you learned that one from your grandmother.
Yes, I did.
Your grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see? How do we know? And your grandmother was from Europe?
No.
From where?
From the West Indies.
From the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's exactly where, too. It used to be that the people would have lice.
Mm-hmm.
And lice was a prominent disease. It was there. And when people would take their hat and they would put it on a bed, they would spread those lice to the bed because the lice were in your head.
Really?
So that's why they said don't put your hat on a bed because that was, you know, that's how you get lice in bed.
And I guess the other one for me is that you don't put your pocketbook on the floor because my grandmother told me your money walks away from you.
Oh, that's really interesting. I don't know where that one comes from, but I'm sure it might have to do with weasels or some animals that used to forage through purses, you know, and they would pick things up and run away and hide them.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. So do you believe these things? I mean,
yeah, I do, kind of.
And so you never put a hat on a bed?
Never put a hat on a bed.
So what would happen if you put a hat on a bed, do you
probably
think?
Probably nothing.
But you never challenge it, right?
Never challenged it. Don't challenge the pocketbook on the floor.
But you had a baby on Friday the 13th.
I had a baby. And it happened to be that everybody kept saying to me, "No, have it on the 12th. You got to have it on the 12th. And he was born at like 3:55 in the morning on the 13th.
Hmm. So, 3:55 in the morning on the 13th.
On the 13th of January.
Well, you know, according to the people who have the 13 Club, that may be one of the luckiest signs.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he was born on that day.
Yes. So those are my superstitions that I should get over, but I just haven't.
Well, and we're going to talk about why people keep superstitions. By the way, did you love your grandmother?
Yes, I do. She's still alive.
You're still alive.
Yes.
Sometimes we keep superstitions because we love the person who passed it on to us.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't want to debunk grandma.
No, never.
You know?
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, here's one for you, my friends, the St. Christopher Medal. Oh, my gosh. There are many historians, including Catholic historians, cannot find any evidence that there ever was a St. Christopher. Isn't that shocking? The St. Christopher medal, the St. Christopher statue, you know. And there was never a St. Christopher. Never existed. 212-209-2900. Let's make another call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Whoopty of Brooklyn.
Whoopty?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. Friday the 13th was pretty good for me. I had had a settlement check cut for me on Friday the 13th for $13,000, and I've never looked at it as being bad luck or ominous. I have a grand aunt who's in her 90s. She was born August the 13th, 1913, and she still has all her faculties. She's still self-sufficient and all around a good person.
And she's still around?
Yeah, still around.
Well, what do you feel towards her?
I was named after her, so I feel closeness in that respect. I never was raised around her that much. But as I recall, she was my funky aunt, my aunt that liked to finger pop and when she was a young woman. And then she became very religious later on.
Oh, what a thing. Did that separate you from her?
No, it was other family issues that happened.
Other family issues that happened that separated you from grandma?
From grand-aunt.
Grand-aunt.
My mother's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying about the number 13, I think that they carry it's a vibrational thing. I think numbers do have an effect on our lives, but I see it as a vibration.
Yes, and I understand. I understand because there's going to be evidence that you're going to have that will validate that.
Yes. And you know? some numbers will be lucky for some people and unlucky for others. And I'm into astrology, so I think that maybe, I don't want to go off the point here, but maybe astrologically, numerology has an effect on it. But again, if 13 is going to bring me blessings, that debunks the theory of bad luck 13.
That's right.
All right.
That's right, but that doesn't debunk the theory.
Mm-hmm.
It says that 13 may be a significant number. It debunks the theory that, in all truth, the number 13 is a superstitious number and it is not related to anything. It's been a good number for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So you're saying, oh, no, not me. I believe.
Yeah, I believe because I've gotten good vibrations from 13.
And that's the way people develop these belief systems. Because more often than not, positive things happen around a significant event, and that's how people get committed to it.
Right, and then they will lose this senseless theory that these certain numbers are ominous, certain things are ominous, and release the fear of them, because what's meant for you to experience is a part of your present and current evolvement. And there's always lessons in every experience, whether they're superstitious or not. I don't think that you should equate negativity in experiences that you must learn in life. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I sure do, and I thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have
a
beautiful day.
Thank you. Christmas and the Star of Bethlehem, this is a very interesting one. There's no historical evidence that Christ was born on December 25th. Do you know that? December 25th was a dish officially adopted by Bishop Liberius of Rome in 354. December 25th occurs during the rainy season in the Holy Land, so it's highly unlikely that shepherds would have been outside in their pastures. Anyway, the Hayden Planetarium in New York recreated the heavens as they were at the time that Christ was allegedly born. And although nothing spectacular happened in the skies on that date, the planetarium went back to 6 BC And in 6 BC, they found that there was three stars of close proximity, which created a spectacularly bright beacon, which may account for the stories of the Star of Bethlehem, which was possible also that Christ was born at 6 BC. You know, it's just somebody picked it up and said, let's make it a holy day. And, you know, again, this is not to debunk. I mean, we have beliefs. Medicine believed that bloodletting would be one way of curing people. I mean, and that, you know, you're going to get the demons out of your body by letting go of your blood. That was a thing of medicine. So medicine was filled with superstition, right, which it no longer has. Psychology may be considered superstition based on a theory that may or may not be true, based on theories. Almost everything has its own fill of it. How do we get by without having it? We try to recognize what it is that we believe in and why we believe in it, because it's going to show you that the reason you have a belief, a superstitious belief, is because you're attached to whoever else it was that had that superstition. You see, if you have a superstition you believe in, you'll find that somehow you're attached to the people that also had that, that passed it on to you. And therefore, it becomes very hard to break with it. You just can't break with it. You know, it's not an easy thing. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking a short break in a couple of minutes. Kathy will be playing a identification chart. There's a thing called triskaidiscophobia. Close. That means the love of the number 13. That means the fear of the number 13. And there's another one called triskaidisky. I always call it triskaidisky. What's a triskaidecaphiliac is somebody who loves the number 13. Isn't it nice to know that you have a word for it? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to play you a piece of music in honor of John Lennon. I also want to make a special salute to Michael Morrison and Aura Yamini Morrison, who I met on 25 years ago to this day when we were doing the vigil in Central Park. And we were both carrying placards announcing counseling sessions for people who were mourning John Lennon. And we were both turning over all of our resources to try to help people. And I looked over, and there were people who were offering it just as I was offering it. And I said, hey, I'd like to meet you. And since then, we became the best of friends 25 years ago today. First, our station ID, then my special piece of John Lennon. Be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're tuned to WBAI New York. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Touch is love. to your love. Love is asking to be loved. Love is you.
John Lennon, the Plastic Ono Band, quite a dramatic work on that album. If you ever listen to that album, he does Hold On and Working Class Hero, and he did this when he was in Primal Therapy. Very interesting. I mean, all of that album came out of his work in Primal Therapy, where he was discovering things about himself. Or maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was superstition. You just never know, you know. You know, Friday the 13th is only bad luck for men, supposedly. And the calendars used to have 13 months for the 13 phases of the moon every year. Men changed the calendar to 12 months. Women have 13 cycles in a year. There's all kinds of things that are related to it. There's a thing about when you're passing a cemetery, hold your breath, because every breath you take supposedly wakes up a spirit in the cemetery. Now, here's a good one for you, and I get this from schools. Young children believe, and this is a funny thing, there's nothing as good as a snow day, right? When you're a young child and you're going to school, a snow day is like, you know, what you expect heaven to be like. You go up in heaven and you have snow days. It means you don't go to school. And you have the day off and you play in the snow. I mean, how good could it get? Well, everybody wants snow days. So the other day there was a threat of a snow day. And here's what children were doing. This is lore in 7-year-olds. Ready? If you wear your pajamas inside out and backwards, you are likely to create a snow day if everybody does it. If it was known that one or two of the people in the school didn't do it, they would be blamed for the non-occurrence of a snow day. So people were really pressured to do it. If you put spoons under your bed, were those teaspoons? Teaspoons under your bed, you are likely to create a snow day. But here's the one I love. And just think of the innocence of 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds believing this, which may be true, I'm not exactly sure. They had this thing figured out where if they took ice cubes and they put them in the toilet and they flushed them down the toilet, if everybody did that, they would drop the temperature of the ocean waters and therefore create a snowstorm. So they did it. They're flushing ice cubes down the toilet, and it didn't work this past week. But, you know, doesn't mean it's not true. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille, talking about superstitions and how superstitions have affected your life. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, hi there.
Hi, my name is Larry. How are you? I can't believe we got you. I was waiting 30 minutes.
Hi, Larry?
Yeah.
Larry, thanks for being on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Armand, I got one that's a little weird. Can I share it?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
Well, basically, here's the thing, Armand. Whenever I get really, really rageful at my dad, only my dad, not other people in the world, but if ever I get rageful, I always get into a car accident. I've had 5 of them in my life, and they were only at times where I was angry at my dad. Now, if I'm not really rageful, I'm just a little bit angry, I get a car problem, like my battery won't start, or my ignition, or I get a flat tire. So depending on my level of anger towards my dad determines the level of car problem I have.
Boy, I tell you, Larry, I hate being a shrink hearing that one, because my mind goes to a very interesting thing. It goes to, let me give you interpretation as we, the trained, would believe it, right? We believe that,
yes,
that your dad is a kind of an oppressive guy.
He was a mean guy.
A mean guy, right. And your dad is a mean guy. And mean guys, they're big and they're powerful and they're like a car.
Right.
Right?
I never thought of it that way, Armand.
So when you get mad at him, right, you're likely to have an accident. You become destructive in a way.
That's what's been the history. I'm 46 years old, and it holds true to form.
Now, second to that, if you get upset, you're behind a wheel driving.
Yes.
And if you're upset at that level, maybe you create an accident.
But the thing is, Armand, I've been upset in the wheel, and just as upset, but not really, as long as it's not at my dad, I never have any problems.
Now, your dad didn't like you being upset with him, did he?
No, he didn't, Armand.
Yeah, and so therefore, what you did was created in your mind a consequence that was even greater than just being mad at your dad. You see, so you created this consequence, oh my God, I could kill somebody. Just
yeah.
by getting angry at my dad. The truth is, you got so angry at your dad sometimes, you could have killed him.
But the truth is, I could almost kill myself now.
Yeah,
that's not,
and you could almost kill yourself.
Well, that's what's happening. If I get really angry, the last one almost did me in.
Yeah. So therefore, you have a suspicion of your own mind that leads you to a superstition.
Yes, I'm superstitious.
And the superstition is, if I get angry, I'm going to die. That's pretty tough.
I'm speechless. I don't really know what to do with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what's really important is that you learn. There's probably something to explore, and as a counselor, I would say to you, this is probably something to bring to a counselor, because it's something you could work through quickly, because I don't believe it's true.
That'd be pretty cool. Well, is there a way that I can... If I call, is there a way I can buy a tape of this show so that I can bring that to it from my counselor?
Sure. And, in fact, are you on the Internet? Do you have access to the Internet?
I do.
Okay. Well, we stream these programs.
Yeah.
So about an hour after we do the recording, you could go into our website, thepositivemind.com, and you could find today's program.
Okay.
That's one. I don't know if you could hear it. I don't know if you could download it or get it that way. The other way is to call my office, and they'll have a copy available for you.
That'd be cool either way, Armand.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you very much, Larry. Nice. I'm glad you waited, and good to speak to you.
Likewise. Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Bye.
212-209. I don't know what date to celebrate my holiday on. 212-209-2900. I have to go back. Don't whistle in a theater? The next performance of the theater will be a bomb. These are stage beliefs. Never peek out at an audience before a production. It brings bad luck. Never wish somebody good luck. Instead, say break a leg, right? Which brings even more luck. Never drink anything made from milk or lemons before a performance. Because this makes common sense, as these things affect your salivary glands and you lose the clarity of your voice. Never open an umbrella unless it's on stage during a scene. For that reason, umbrellas are usually cut out of scripts. They don't have them. So that's in theaters, you know, but they're not, superstitions are not for just one person. They have them in teams. They have them in baseball. They have them in football. There are superstitions. There are things that people live by. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. So nice to talk to you people today. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you? This is Gasper. Please let me say that I really enjoy your show.
I'll let you say it, Gasper.
Thank you. And you can let Miss Ozzy know that she's wonderful on the radio.
Yes, great. Thank you. She is.
Now, I'd like to let you know that I have a superstition, and I'm curious as to your take on it. My family is of Sicilian background.
Oh, welcome to the club.
And there is a superstition whereby my mother will not allow me to turn a loaf of bread upside down.
I haven't heard that one. That sounds great. Go ahead.
Okay. It might be some food for thought, and I actually don't have the explanation for you.
I wonder what it is. But let me tell you, I mentioned this movie called Household Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You must see it. Must. I mean, it's like, it's essential. Rent this movie, Household Saints.
Okay.
There's going to be a part of you that's going to laugh and a part of you that's going to cry, especially because of the Italian heritage.
Okay. I will have, if I can have one last thing to say, many people think that all of the Italian superstitions are the Malocchio idea.
Right.
You're familiar with that? It's like
the horns.
Yeah, but actually there's a whole host of other ones that are somewhat, you know, religious inspired, like the ones that you were mentioning before with, you know, God bless you and sneezing and the Pope and all this stuff.
And so there are good things, too.
Oh, for sure.
You know, there are good superstitions. You know, sometimes it's really nice when somebody does something. I remember somebody once took a candle and passed it around my head three times, and they said, this will bring you good fortune in the upcoming year. I didn't believe the candle was going to do it, but I loved the idea that they wanted me to have good fortune in the upcoming year, you know?
Great. Well, you also know that Italians eat lentils on the first of the year.
I didn't know that, do they?
Yes, for good luck.
Lentils must bring good luck, then.
They say.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. There are other things that I remember. Don't burn bread, because it feeds the devil. So he will be lurking nearby. The devil likes burned bread. That might be the only one I know that. And if you hold your hand in front of your mouth when you sneeze, you prevent your soul from escaping. That's a good thing, too. Probably keep disease around. And never give knives as a present or as a gift, because they cut the love in a person's life. Don't you love them? 212-209-2900. There's a book called The Treasury of Superstitions by Claudia DeLise, if you want to pursue it a little further. It's kind of fun. Hi, let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
This is Marty.
Hello, Marty.
Great to hear you. I love your show and you.
Thank you, Marty.
I've got these two things. I call them... I was wondering while I was waiting, what... Because you asked, what is the significance of this stuff in your life? And I think, I don't know, if you would ask me if I was superstitious, I'd say, oh, no. But I have these two little things that I kind of like to do because I just do it and it makes me laugh and smile. And one thing is if I come in your house, I prefer to go out the same door.
Such a common thing.
Yeah, good.
I mean, but that's a belief in many ways, in many religions. When I was doing the research on superstitions, I found that to be one of the most common. Go in one way, go out the other way, go to the bathroom one way, come out the other way, get in your bed one way, get out of your bed another way. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I just picked it up, I don't know when, but not from youth. Definitely not from youth. Sometime in modern history within the last 20 or 30 years. And also...
You better not go visit people who live in apartments that are on the 15th floor, because then you go in by the door and you go out by the window. It might not be lucky.
No. Well, I would make sure to go back out the door.
Right.
And I will not leave my hat on my table in my residence.
Yeah, same kind of myth. And that one comes out of the best. Now, did you have a European family?
Yes, both parents Irish.
And you see, in Europe, this thing about lice was such a big thing.
Yes, I
heard you know,
that.
And that was all the hat stuff.
Yeah.
You know, now bed bugs are coming back.
But it's funny, if you had asked me, am I superstitious, I would say no. But I just enjoy following these two things.
Well, let me ask you something. Did you have a grandmother you loved?
I did. I had one grandmother.
And did you love her deeply?
Yes, I did.
You see, this is a funny thing I find about people who carry on traditional superstitions. There's a connection. In a way, you honor your grandmother by doing what she would have done.
Mm.
Grandma would have never put a hat on a table.
No, I believe that, yeah. Now that you mention it.
So I thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. After this has been cut from it, the loaf of bread, oh, my research is here, terrific. A loaf of bread should never be turned upside down after a slice has been cut from it, is the superstition. Now, that gets changed, of course. Never turn a loaf of bread upside down, period. But it's after a slice has been cut from it. And then there's the other one about before slicing a new loaf of bread, make the sign of the cross on it. You know, and that's because bread does seem to be the food for the devil. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Armand, I adore you, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Donna, thank you.
But I have a bunch of superstitions my mother drilled into my head, and I have... One of them is always keep a horseshoe above the front door to keep out evil spirits.
That's the luck thing. Keep a horseshoe. We got to look up horseshoes. Hold on a second. Here come my research. It's a horseshoe. Hung above the doorway will bring good luck to a home. In most of Europe, protective horseshoes are placed in a downward-facing position.
Yes.
But in some parts of Ireland and Britain, people believe that the shoe must be turned upward, or the luck will run out.
Ah.
And a horseshoe hung in the bedroom will keep nightmares away, especially if it falls on your head and knocks you out.
Also, Armand, I also have the hat on the bed. It's supposed to... my mother told me it would someone would die, so never put a hat on the bed. I heard that.
Yeah.
Then if a bird flies into your house, it also means someone's going to die.
We got that. A bird in the house is a sign of death.
Yes.
What nationality are you?
We're African-American from the South.
And you're from the South, and these came from the South? These
yeah,
are such European things.
Yeah.
Well, a bird flies in the house is a sign of death. If a robin flies into a room through a window, death will happen quickly.
Ah, a robin.
A robin. That's you know, then they have this other one, which is the sound of bells drives away demons because they're afraid of the loud noise.
Oh.
And when a bell rings, an angel receives its wings. And then you have a bell can actually stave off death.
Yeah.
So what you do is if you have a bird come in your house, you ring bells.
Ring bells to chase away death. Good idea. Also, she also told me never put your purse on the floor.
Because the same thing as we heard earlier.
It means poverty. It will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if your ears are burning, someone is talking bad about you.
Boy, that one really stretches because we found in some places if your right ear is burning, it means if your left ear itches, someone is speaking badly of you.
Yes, I think that's it.
If your right ear is itching, someone is speaking well of you. If your nose is itching, scratch it.
Right. If your right hand is itching, it means you're going to receive money. And if your left hand is itching, it means that you're going to be losing money.
This is beautiful. Thank you. And so what do you think? I mean, do you actually follow this at all?
Actually, I can't help but keep my purse off the floor. I always hear my mother's voice every time I have to. If I'm going somewhere and I have to put my purse down and there's nowhere to put it, I'm always conscious that it's on the floor. And I usually will hold it between my knees or put it on my feet or something to keep it off the floor because in my head, my mother still rings and I can't put a hat on a bed. I just can't do it because she said not to. I'm 37 years old and she's passed away many years ago.
But you miss her.
I do.
And that's why you keep the tradition.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, it's a connection. It's a connection.
Yeah.
You can't put it on the floor and say, see, Ma, you know?
That's true.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Armand. Bye.
Sure. They had this thing about birth. Monday's child is fair of face. Somebody born on a Monday had a good face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living. But the child that is born on the Sabbath day is fair and wise, good and gay. Now, that had implications. Modern implications. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, my name is Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Oh, that's good. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. So I was going to say that when your palm itches that you're going to get money, but that other person had just said it. So The other thing I was going to say is that I heard my dad had said that my Irish grandmother said when she lived in Ireland that when her grandmother had passed away, they had the funeral in the house, and that they put chicken's blood in the four corners of the casket to keep away, I guess, like evil. And I had looked it up online, and that's what it had said.
There's a lot about you. Where are they from, Ireland?
Yeah, Ireland, from like the Lahadreen.
From, yes.
That was the name of where they were from.
Hmm. Yes, so what do you feel about these now?
Well, like, my grandmother was actually, like, a pretty devout Catholic, so it just seemed like some kind of pagan ritual that must have gone on a long time ago that stayed in the family.
You didn't like her very much, did you?
Oh, no, I did.
You loved her a lot?
Yeah, I didn't really know her that well. I mean, I understand, though, that, you know, she was a tough mother, but, you know, she was very loving.
Yeah. Well, I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Sure.
Have a good one.
You know, and it's so nice to talk to you people. We don't get many opportunities to it. A broom, you know, don't lean a broom against a bed. The evil spirits in the broom will cast a spell. If someone is sweeping the floor and sweeps over your feet, you'll never get married. How do you like that one? Butterflies. If the first butterfly you see in a year is white, you'll have good luck all year. Three butterflies together mean good luck. Isn't it wonderful? Hey, one more call, Kathy, if you don't mind. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
This is Ellie from downtown.
Hi, Ellie from downtown.
And you know what? Don't put your shoes on the table. Let me shut the radio off. I'm sorry. Don't put your shoes on the table.
Don't ever put your feet on the table. You mean your shoes, meaning like if you're leaning back in a chair or if your shoes are not on your body?
Don't put your shoes on the table. It's supposed to be bad luck.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, it probably will if your shoes are dirty.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? If your shoes are dirty and then you put them on a table, like if you put your feet up on a table, it's not going to be too hygienic.
Right. I think it's another old Irish
I think
thing.
It is, too.
But it's really kind of funny. So another thing that's kind of strange is I heard of someone who was telling me that they had very bad luck with somebody. And every time they dreamt of that person, they would hear about the death of someone else.
Yeah, I heard that, too. Thank you. Thank you so much
for
calling in.
It's a great show.
Sure. Thank you. Great show because, you know, we talk about some of these things that have affected our lives in such ways sometimes, in very profound ways. And sometimes they affect us in such a way that it becomes difficult to get by. Let me again recommend that movie, Household Saints, for you to see about superstitions. Painful as it is, it's also beautiful. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You can look at our website, thepositivemind.com. Don't forget to support WBAI. That's not just for good luck, it's good fortune.
The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille. Thank you very much, Armand DeMille. Thank you, Kathy Davis. And thank you, Errol Maitland. When WBAI works at its best, we help one another to bring you the very best in programming here at 99.5 FM. And yes, please do visit our website, wbai.org, and support this commercial-free, listener-supported radio station. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide. Coming up at 2 p.m., Perspective with Luis Reyes Rivera. Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton at 3 p.m. Stay tuned.
Sunday, December 11th, at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, a program on Muslim migration. Hear the astounding story of a modern-day underground railroad that stretches from Istanbul to New York with Iranian-American political economist Bizar Yagmeyan. A book signing will follow. The event is free. Sunday, December 11th at 11:30 a.m. at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, 2 West 64th Street at Central Park West. For details, go to nysec.org or call 212-874-5210. That's 212-874-5210. On December 8th at 7 p.m., come join the Speak Out for Attorney Lynn Stewart, along with clergy, community leaders, activists, teachers, and trade unionists. Lynn Stewart faces 30 years in prison because the Bush administration is using the war on terrorism to curtail rights and to criminalize advocacy. Such actions threaten the very basis of our legal system. Let our shouts of support for this courageous legal advocate carry her to the sentencing date. Shout out to support Lynn Stewart on December 8th, 7 p.m. at the Community Church of New York, 40 East 35th Street in Manhattan. For more information, call 212-625-9696. That's 212-625-9696.